Follow along as we study our Bible text tonight. You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. That's where we're going to be looking at the majority of our Bible study tonight. In the whirlwind of all that has been happening, and really is still happening here at Westbridge, the Bible study that we have been on was interrupted a couple weeks. And now I do believe it was interrupted for all the right reasons. We really needed to spend the last 2 weeks understanding and unpacking this movement that God has done here in our church. So what we did for the past 2 weeks is we looked into the Bible to see how God directs his people and what part a location or a building plays in our relationship with him. But now I would like to go back and finish what we began in December, and that is an in-depth investigation of the days, weeks, and years that followed that very first Christmas. Our series is called After the Christmas Lights Come Down. And in this series, we studied how 8 days after Jesus was born, Jesus was taken and had his circumcision done on day 8. It was also the day that he was officially given his name as Jesus. We then saw how on day 41 after Christmas, Jesus and his family went on a trip to Jerusalem. And there, on that trip, Jesus was dedicated, and he had an interaction, and his family had an interaction with Simeon, the prophet, and Anna. We then saw in our study that the wise men visited. We talked about the time frame, when this actually happened. And then the last time that we studied, we looked at the midnight run for their lives that had to happen in Bethlehem, leaving in the middle of the night, heading to Egypt. So we pick up our study tonight in Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus is now between 1 and 3 years old, and he is living in a small Jewish community in Egypt. And that's where we pick up our story tonight. Remember, they had to run there because Herod was going to kill all the babies 2 years old and under. So Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. He said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So Joseph got up. He took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And Joseph went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. Now, friends, it is clear, very clear as you in this study, that Joseph was indeed a wonderful selection by God to be the leader of this little family. And Joseph was a wonderful choice to serve as Jesus' father. You see, in this is now the third time the Bible tells us that God speaks to Joseph in a dream. And as with the other two times, Joseph immediately obeys what God instructs him. Now, it may seem confusing that God would order up all this moving around. I mean, he has Joseph travel to Bethlehem. Then he has him down in Egypt. Now he has him heading back to Israel. I mean, and this time, it's believed, was probably in the winter. I mean, if God can merely speak and order things to happen, which we know God can, then why wouldn't God just change things on earth so there wouldn't be all this running around? Well, that thought and that question never seems to enter Joseph's mind. Instead, Joseph seems keen on going anywhere God leads, no matter where it is or when he is told to go. Now, some may answer that question about why God has them moving around saying, well, you know, God is making all this happen so that the prophecies that were foretold about Jesus would be fulfilled. Prophecies like Hosea 11:1, out of Egypt I call my son. In Matthew 2:23, that he would be called a Nazarene. But gang, that's true, but with all prophecy, these foretellings are not some kind of cool paint-by-number item that God says, now go make these things happen, just like I ordered them. No, prophecies are snapshots from the future. You see, God has seen the entire story from start to finish, long before it ever happens. Prophecies aren't things that anyone has to try to make happen. They are snapshots of what will happen, and they will unfold naturally. God's story is already complete and finalized. We even know how the end will happen. Prophecies are really like previews of a movie that is finished and simply waiting to open. Joseph didn't need to try to make a prophecy happen or come true. For Joseph, it was really all about being exactly where God wanted him to be. You see, Egypt was a good place for him to be. Now, Israel is an even better place, according to God. But Nazareth, that's the best place for Joseph and his family to be. You see, Joseph chooses God's best over good or even better. And he does this seemingly all the time. Look at Joseph's life. Joseph chooses the best girl to marry, a young woman who is fully surrendered to God and puts God's desires above her own and even above the desires of the man she loves. Joseph chooses decorum and he chooses grace when he finds out Mary is pregnant. He could have had her killed. He could have had her stoned. But Joseph chooses not good. He chooses better. He chooses to quietly and carefully end the engagement. But that's when God steps in and shows Joseph what the best decision is. The best decision, Joseph, is to marry Mary and be the father of God's own son. Joseph chooses God's best. And then, to follow God away from what was good in Egypt, or even better in Bethlehem in Judea, on to God's best, Nazareth. Point one from our text tonight is this. Joseph was not a settler. Joseph was not a settler. Allow me and Miss Lori to make this point a little more visually clear for you as to what a settler looks like. This is what I think about, though, when I think of not following God's best. Gang, Joseph's faith and obedience and patience cause him to not be a settler, where many others would have. Westbridge, you and I will find ourselves having to choose what is God's best. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says this. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. God is saying here in 1 Corinthians that there are good, there are better, and there are best choices that we need to navigate through in our lives. Friends, a great deal of the time, our choices as followers of Jesus Christ are not choices of right and wrong. A lot of times, our choices are between good, better, and best. Let me say that one more time. A great deal of the time, as followers of Jesus Christ, our choice is not between right and wrong. A lot of the time, our choice is between good, better, and best. Joseph shows the incredible importance and reward in not settling. God's best is found in going where God says to go, when God says to go there, and doing what God shows us to do. And whether it's convenient has no bearing. Whether it's comfortable makes no difference. And whether it makes sense to us doesn't matter. Gang, we are not settlers. First takeaway point, first action point for you to live in your life. Do not settle for things. Do not settle for things. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 11, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask?" Pilgrims, on the road to the celestial city, let me ask you, are you in the job that God placed you in? Are you in the school that God has called you to go to? Are you in the relationship that God has designed for you? If you have asked God and He has placed you there, then great! You are living like Joseph, the way he modeled. But if you haven't asked God, and God hasn't placed you there, then you need to consider, have I settled? Now, if you want to see what a settler looks like, if you want to see what they really look like, put your eyes right here. I was a ginormous settler in my life as a follower of Jesus Christ. At 24 years old, I had settled into the life of being a carpenter, working for the Essex County Carpenters Local. That's where I had settled in. It was a good job. Remember, good, better, and best? It was a good job. But there was an opportunity that came up to take a test for the Linden Fire Department. And I decided on the day of the physical test, I decided I wasn't going. I said, I'm not going. I settled. I'm settling to be a carpenter. I'm going to bang nails. Until my mother stepped in. And I was pretty big at 24. So my mother had no problem grabbing me by the ear, dragging me to her Honda Civic, throwing me in the back seat of the Honda Civic, and driving me to Trenton and saying, you run when you take that test. I was settling. Big settler. I'll prove it even more. I was engaged to a very nice girl. I'm not even going to say good. I'm going to say better. But that girl was not the girl that God had for me. Even more, everyone has their spiritual gifts. One of my gifts is being able to lead. And when I got in the fire department, I got a very comfortable job on the fire department that I settled for. It was good. I said, I don't want to lead here. I don't want to be a leader on the fire department, even though I'm gifted for that. I don't want to lead. I'm settling for this position right here. Therefore, I will not study for any tests. I will not sign up for any tests. I will not try to get promoted. I will not try to go anywhere. I'm settling right here. I'll make my own clothes. Well, I thought I was a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, but in reality, I was a fully devoted settler. I settled for things. But that changed. Thank God that changed. Through faith that God knows best, and through patience that God would provide, and through obedience to go where God said, when He said, and do what He said, my settling for things ended. The recipe to end settling is faith plus patience plus obedience. Now, couple this truth with a second point on why God took Joseph on this journey all over the place, much like Mr. Toad's wild ride. Here's the second point. God reveals His mind to us by degrees. Degree number one, leave your home, Joseph. Degree number two, go stay in Bethlehem. Degree number three, run to Egypt in the middle of the night. Degree number four, get out of Egypt. Number five, go back to Israel, then go to Nazareth. Well, much like Joseph's travels, Westbridge, we've had our travels too, haven't we? The first degree God sent us to was Stuartsville Elementary School. Second degree, Greenwich School. Third degree, Phillipsburg Middle School. Fourth degree, the 519 Fields. Fifth degree, the Upper Room. Sixth degree, the Early Childhood Learning Center. Seventh degree, Alpha Press. We can ask the same question Joseph could have asked. Why didn't God just lead us to Alpha 15 years ago? Well, the answer, gang, is because God reveals his mind to us in degrees. And each degree is important. In fact, I would not take a single degree of God's journey for us out. I would not miss a single one of them. We cannot and should not expect to step from degree number one right to degree number seven. And we also must not settle into any particular step. Like Joseph didn't settle into Bethlehem and didn't settle into Egypt. We must accomplish what's in God's mind at each one of those degrees, and then we need to follow him forward. The journey through these degrees is accomplished as we have been saying. It will take faith, patience, and obedience. Takeaway number two, your action step. How to put the Bible actually into life. Step with faith, step with patience, and step with obedience. You must have faith, gang. You must have faith that God knows what's best for us. You have to have that. But then it's also going to take patience for God to do the work in us and around us at each degree. And that's why we must be diligent and hardworking at each degree so we accomplish God's kingdom's purposes at each one of those stops. And lastly, it requires obedience. Obedience to do what God says and then move when he says to the next degree, taking what God has given you and having the courage to leave what God wants you to leave behind. You see, here's the rub. Settlers don't want to move. Settlers like to stay put. It's like they're at a table that God set for them, and God puts out the appetizer, and they're eating that, and they said, that's good enough. And they just stay at the appetizer. And after they're full on that, they don't care what God's sending as an entree, and they don't care what God's sending as a dessert. One final observation. Point number three tonight is this. God selects our battles. Remember in the story, if you read that text carefully, Joseph wanted to go back to Bethlehem. But God spoke to him in dream number four and said, don't go there. You see, when Herod, the father, when he died, his jurisdiction was divvied up among his three sons. Now, Archelaus, he was the worst of the three sons. He was cruel. And he was mean, just like his father. And Archelaus got Judea, which is where Bethlehem is. So what does God do? He steers Joseph away from there. And where does Joseph go? Amazingly, he goes back to where it all started. Where we first hear of him. Back to his hometown of Nazareth. Matthew Henry wrote this. He said, God will not thrust his children into the mouth of danger, but when it is for his glory, his own glory, and for their trial. Interesting how God steers Joseph and his family away from possible danger. And you have to notice that every time God steers Joseph, Joseph hears, Joseph understands what God wants, and he correctly reads the signals. Action point three, takeaway three. When God steers, friends, lean into it. That quote by Matthew Henry that God will not thrust his children into the mouth of danger, but when it is for his own glory in their trial, that's a very important statement. Yes, God will send us into trials and dangers. There are times God will send us into that. But each time God does that has a purpose. And that purpose is either to advance God's kingdom and God's purposes, or to grow us closer to God, more into God's image. But Matthew Henry's statement also, it means that, but it also means this. There are dangers that we can run headlong into that God did not order up for us. In Joseph's case, it would have been Joseph setting his mind on, no, I'm going back to Bethlehem. Exactly where God didn't want him to go. That, friends, is heading into danger and ordering up trouble that we steered ourselves into, not God. As God moves us through degrees, we need to read the signals properly and honestly, making sure we're not walking into issues that God never intended us to deal with. My daughter, Katie, introduced me to a show, and the show is called Catfish. You know, right? It's a show where someone has connected with someone else online, but they never meet them face to face. They can be typing messages back and forth for years, getting their hearts deeper and deeper involved, but they never meet the person face to face. And what is surprising to us watchers is that the person who is hooked by the relationship doesn't read the signals. Signals that are flashing bright red right in front of them. Instead, these people who are hooked settle. They settle into a false hope. They settle into a non-reality. And that hope will lead them and their hearts to where they never should have been. It would be like Joseph believing things will be fine if I go back to Bethlehem. Gang, here's the kicker. We, you and me, we get catfished into settling for things in our lives that are dangers, trials, and heartaches that God never wanted for us. Instead, he tried to steer us away from them. Now, we need to read God's signals and then lean into what God is steering. We need to be honest and we need to be frank. Gang, if it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, it's a duck. God may lean into you saying, that business deal, that's too good to be true. Well, go with God. Steer out of that thing. God may steer you saying, this person isn't acting correctly. This person right in front of you, they're not acting correctly. As he steers, lean into it and move away from that person. God may steer you by saying, the thing you're hanging on to in your heart is pulling you down. And it's pulling you away from life to the full that I want to give you. Lean into what God's saying and steer towards God's course. And let that thing go. Gang, danger is one thing. But danger we usher into our life, that God tried to steer us away from, Well, that's what we want to avoid. And we want to never settle for that. So, for some of us, we will identify with needing to lean into God's steering in our life. And for others of us here, we need to pull up stakes. We need to leave Egypt. We need to leave a good thing, maybe even a better thing, and move into God's best thing. That may mean leaving an old habit. That may mean leaving a relationship. That might mean leaving a place that's comfortable. That might mean leaving complacency and doing something new, like going and getting more education, or joining a ministry team, or starting to attend a small group. Leaving Egypt may mean extending forgiveness to someone who doesn't even care. Leaving Egypt may mean seeking God to change traits in you that keep tripping you up. Leaving Egypt might mean changing your geography, changing your job. It might mean having a conversation that should have been had a long time ago. And leaving Egypt may just mean establishing a boundary that you know is going to cause World War III. Leaving Egypt may mean something different for each of us, but the core principle is the same. We are not settlers. We don't settle for things. Instead, we overcome things by the power of God. Instead, we battle things with the sword of the Spirit and the truth of God's word. Instead, we take leaps of faith that lead us to where God wants us to be. Leaps of faith that take us to life to the full, John 10:10. Leaps of faith that advance God's kingdom and purposes. Are you settled in Egypt? You really don't need a dream from God to prompt you to move. You don't need that. He has made it very clear to us in his word right here in Matthew 2. I'm going to ask the band, the worship leaders, to come down. And as they do, and as we worship God one last time, one last song, consider, is it time? Is it time for you to leave your Egypt? Is it time for you to get out of something that it's good? Is it time for you to stop doing something that, well, it's better? And say, Lord, I want the promised land. I want a land and a life flowing with milk and honey. I want your best. For Joseph, he never did it any other way. Lord, I pray that now, as we head out into the weekdays, you would have us recall what we've learned in Matthew chapter 2. Help us not be people who are settling, but let us be followers of you who have the faith to know that you know best, and have the patience that your Spirit gives us to wait for you to move, to trust you for it. And Lord, give us the courage, through the power of your Spirit, to obey what you ask us to do. Lord, I pray you would have each of us be overcomers, not settlers. And we trust you with our lives once again and every single day. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.